This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Peter Burns joins us, SEC Network. You'll see him out at the Hoover Met later on the network with the SEC baseball tournament coverage. Probably wondering why we were talking about a flight to Athens, Greece. What's up, Peter? How are you?
I have had a flight to Athens, Greece before, and it is a long flight. I will tell you that, but it's worth it. Have you guys? Who's been? Has anybody
well,
here? On
the it's show Lance's yet? Dream destination.
No, it's one of my. I mean, there's a lot of places I want to go in Europe, Peter, because I've never been. Yeah. But I think Mykonos might be like number one on the list.
Mykonos is unbelievable. We went there, and I'm telling you, like on a Tuesday, we had like a little RTV, like these little, like the ATVs that you just ride. So I rented one, and we're just driving, and there's all these beach clubs and stuff, and so we see this beach club. My wife and I, and we just go down this kind of like dirt road. We see this kind of, I don't even remember what it's called. It's like Club Ibiza or something like that. Name kind of weird. And so we get there, and it's a Tuesday, and you would have thought it's Saturday night at midnight in Vegas. Like it's a Tuesday at like 2 p.m. It's just a huge Lance party palooza, and it was nuts. Food was great. And then the history, the Acropolis Museum in Athens is the best museum in the world that I've ever been. And I've been lucky to travel. That's my favorite museum in the world.
Hey, where are we on the economy right now of Greece? Did you go over there when it had tanked?
They had some issues.
No, it was great because actually the dollars was working pretty well. And as far as that, they understand that they have to really cater to tourists because there's so much of the tourism industry. That plays a major role. So I mean, listen, I found like it was fantastic. The food was great. The women were beautiful. The weather was awesome. It was right up. Lance's. It was the opposite of what Dari Noka had to deal with at 1:45 a.m. last night.
Dari had the bad card of still being at the Hoover Met last night at 1:42 when the first pitch finally ended. Peter, I don't know if you ever sold anything in your life. But you hit every high point. I mean, Lance's eyes look like
more to tourism.
I mean, honest to goodness, right. Peter, you've seen those cartoons where one character starts staring at the other character, and it becomes like a
ham sandwich,
like a ham sandwich or a turkey. He's salivating over here, and his eyes are googling out. You're talking about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It looks like Vegas with great food and cheap drinks, man. He's done.
But here's the thing: I get really anxious flying, Peter, and it goes back to Rockstar asked us a question last week. If we could buy something that isn't on the market, what would it be? And I want to buy like a teleportation machine. If I could teleport over there. It would be absolutely perfect.
I would take that. I mean, the problem is I don't like – I can't sleep on the plane from the United States to Europe because I'm always freaking out that I'm going to wake up at 3 a.m. thinking, hey, man, if we need to turn around, we're Titanic in this thing. I mean, that we are just there's no like, oh, we'll just put it down in Des Moines, Iowa, or, well, yeah, we'll just make an emergency landing. Like, you ain't landing that thing over the Atlantic. So I have a hard time sleeping, so – I always try to get like an early flight over there so I can at least just power through because there's nothing worse than being groggy than you don't sleep. And then all of a sudden you're sitting there trying to party like Lance and Rockstar over at in Mykonos and you're just tired. Nobody, you need to be well rested for that trip.
Two things. He says he's anxious when he's flying. Let me describe anxious for you with LT. Brown's experienced this. I rarely have except to one national championship game. Anxious for him means usually drunk, right? Or at least looped up.
I gotta be looped up to get on a flight.
He wasn't drunk.
I can't.
He was in a good mood.
I can't even imagine flying over the Atlantic.
Yeah, in the South, guys, we like to call that, we just tailgate for the flight.
Tailgated.
Perfect.
Yes.
He tailgates for the flight. And for you, as far as sleeping on the flight over, trust me, when they set it down in the Atlantic, it'll wake you up, so you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to stay awake for
waterbed.
Yeah. I don't want to hear about that.
Okay, anymore. Peter, unfortunately, I got to ask you a serious question. So we'll start a little college football in a program that you grew up rooting for, LSU. You know, last year, it was kind of like nobody would be surprised if they were 6-6 or if they went 12-0. It seems like everyone this year believes this is going to be more 6-6, 7-5, best case 8-4.
I think that was the case, but I think that there's that glimmer. It's like whenever you're doing laundry and it sucks to do laundry, and then you reach in and you find like a 20 in your pocket while you're and you're like, this could change my day. Like, I think they kind of feel that as the situation with getting the transfer from Ohio State, Joe Burrow. I mean, Listen, they wanted Miles Brennan guys to win that job. And I don't think there's a doubt. That's the kid that they recruited. That's the kid that they thought was going to be the next thing. And he just, I mean, when you can't beat out Justin McMillan, a four-year starter who's never really sniffed any playing time, that doesn't bode well. So, you know, it was a little bit of a risk for Ogeron to go after this kid, because had you go after a transfer and you miss, everybody, all the other quarterbacks are like, dang, coach, I guess you didn't think we could play, right? Like, so it was a big thing that Ogeron did land Burrow, because he understands that this can't be a 4-8 year. It can't be a 6-6 year. And I don't think it's going to be. I think that the offensive and defensive line are better. They got some dudes at wide receiver. I mean, that wide receiver core could play on LSU's basketball squad and be competitive next year for Will Wade. So they got all these 6'3 guys that are huge. So I think the outlook is better. Now that legalized gambling is around, I should have taken the over on 6.5. I'm just saying that.
Okay, you like the over there. But I mean, somebody had to be the running back to follow Fournette and guys. I mean, somebody was going to have to do that. Is Edwards-Helaire, I mean, look, I don't want to say is he a Fournette or a Geis, but is he a standard LSU running back? Is this a guy that can?
I think it's a plug and play.
Okay.
Mean, honestly, I think that if you're good enough to be recruited at LSU, there's certain positions that LSU doesn't miss on, right? Like, I feel like defensive back and running back are the two that you say, hey, you know what? If you got recruited to come down to the 225 to play football in the SEC, you're going to be all right. You know, and I think the offensive line is going to be even better, which goes back to the credit of Darius Geis last year, that that offensive line was banged up. They didn't have a lot of depth, and they could still run the rock pretty well. That was impressive for Geis. That's why I think he actually will end up being the value of the draft. Him and Sony Michel, I would have taken way ahead of with his, their value over than Saquon Barkley going to the Giants.
You had a chance to play a little golf in Tuscaloosa, right, this week?
Man, me and Justin Thomas may or may not have been at a Taco Bell at 1:30 in the morning in T-Town. So yeah,
look out.
It was a decent time. The Nachos Bel Grande flowed gloriously.
you travel around a lot in the SEC. Who do you think is more comfortable right now? And I guess both is an answer with the quarterback's situation they've got to deal with. Nick Saban with the Tua Jalen thing, or what Kirby Smart has to deal with Fromm and Justin Fields?
There's absolutely no doubt, 100%, it's Kirby and what he's dealing with Fromm and Fields. I mean, Fromm and Fields is not really a storyline. I mean, they may give him a couple of packages, but, you know, when I spent time with Fields, he's still drinking out of a fire hydrant. You know, he's still kind of learning the game. And you step on campus, and this was evident last year, and that's why I thought that Fromm would eventually be the quarterback over Eason, and he did because of the injury. But you step on campus, everybody gravitates towards Fromm. It's basically like when Jim Dunaway just shows up in Hoover and everybody, like, rolls around.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They're like, hey, the man is here, you know? Like, that's what Fromm was. So I don't think that's an issue whatsoever. Now, it becomes an issue in 2019, but they'll trust me, when they're a preseason ranked number one, which I think they will be in 2019 because of this recruiting class, those are the riches of rich people problems. But on the other side, how much does Nick Saban worry about this? I don't think Nick Saban worries at all. I think he can go into his press conference and goes, I just want him to go into the press conference and goes, is it going to matter? I'm going to beat you either way. If you want me to beat you with Jalen, I can beat you with Jalen. If you want me to beat you with Tua, I can beat you with Tua. That's, I think, his approach for the whole situation.
I think it was called QB1, but back in the 90s, there was a bar game where you picked the next play and stuff.
That was it.
That's what Saban should do with Jalen and Tua, let you QB1, who quarterbacks the next play. Yes.
Right. You just let me know. If you want me to beat you with Mac Jones, I can do that. I mean, this team is going to be so good once again. And, as you know, either one of them are going to be good QBs. The biggest question that I have is whether or not the team, the players themselves, have they gotten to the point where they're like, because I saw this at LSU with Anthony Jennings and guys that struggle passing the ball. Is the team going to be like, man, we love you, Jalen, but I you're not that leader. We need a guy that's going to help us win. Now, Jalen has helped them win, obviously, 26-2 as a starter. But that's the only concern that I have. But him being on the leadership council and stuff like that, I think it's all much ado about nothing. It literally is a good problem that 115 other D1 college football schools would love to have.
We are 99 days out. Who are you more interested / excited in seeing, Jimbo at A&M or Dan Mullen at Florida?
Mullen at Florida. I think Jimbo's going to be good at A&M, but I think I think we'll have that conversation in 2020. I think it's going to take him 3 years to get that thing where he wants it to be. For Dan, I think that was just a home run hire. I can't imagine Chip Kelly in this conference, guys. I mean, like, at first I was like, oh, that'd be kind of cool. And I'm like, nah, there's just something about Mullen's kind of had that chip on his shoulder that he thought, oh, you know, we don't get the credit that we want. And to see what he's been able to do with, you know, probably a bunch of 3 or 4 star guys that now he could turn into 4 and 5 star guys in Gainesville. Hold on. I mean, I think this was, you know, I think this was a monster move for Scott Strickland and, you know, a perfect situation for the Florida Gators to develop some offense.
All right, before you go, and the SEC baseball tournament starts on the SEC Network. You can see Burnsy and the crew starting at 9 o'clock. First pitch at 9:30, Texas A&M, Georgia. You've got Auburn Ole Miss at 1 today. Casey Mize, regardless of the situation, will pitch tomorrow, which is an interesting strategy by Auburn to play 2 games without pitching their ace there.
Yeah, I mean, that's the same thing that Rob Childress is doing with A&M, that now that they made it towards the first round of the games and they get into double elimination ball, they could just sit there and go, hey, all right, we'll throw out kind of a wild card today, because if we win, then we're set up really good to go with our aces. So, yeah, I mean, I think that was, you know, I think that was a smart play. And again, the thing is, when you got a guy like Casey Mize, guys, he's probably going to be the top pick of the draft, if not the top, you know, 1 or 2 in that draft. You also have to protect him, because if Butch Thompson goes out there and mismanages something and puts him out on 3 days rest when he really didn't have to, and God forbid something happened, he will absolutely get raked through the coals. Every single other coach will use that against him in recruiting. And that's honestly something coaches have to do in this league more than any other, is balance. I have a future major leaguer on my hands. I need to make sure he helps the team win first and foremost, but also I need to protect this young man's future that can be generational change in money. So, you know, they don't have that problem a whole heck of a lot in the you know, in other conferences. Not nearly as much as it just means more draft picks here in the SEC.
Where college football never ends.
Here's Coker with protection. Loads up, looks long, has O.J. Howard behind the defense. He'll make the grab. He's going in. Touchdown, Alabama!
The Jocks Roundtable with LT, Dunaway, and Brown.